One of the main problems we have in this world today is poor vision. Nearly 180 million people around the world struggle with their eyes. Many of them live in poor countries, countries where if they tried to purchase reading glasses, it would take them several months' wages and over a week's time period to go and get simple reading glasses. One Oxford professor, he came up with a new type of reading glasses, a type of glasses that he hopes will aid people all over the planet. It's a type of glasses that is made out of a material of oil, and the oil is injected into the glasses, and it has a little knob, and you can turn that knob to put a little more oil in, or a little oil taken out, to help with both nearsightedness and farsightedness. He believes that this invention will help the problem of sight all over the world. Well, while not only do we have a problem with physical blindness, what I really want to talk to you about this morning is spiritual blindness. And what we're going to see in our text this morning is spiritual blindness isn't something that takes place instantaneously. The moment a person gets saved, they don't receive a spiritual sight. And what the disciples found out in our text this morning from the Gospel of Mark is that some people need a second touch from Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 8. And in Mark chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 22 through 26. We've been going through Mark. We're at the halfway point now as we've been moving verse by verse through this text. What we see in this text is we learn about a spiritual 20/20 vision. Mark chapter 8, I'm going to read verse 22 through 26. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." And again he laid hands on his eyes and looked intensely and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home saying, "Do not even enter the village." Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for all that you do for us. I pray today, Lord, that we will have our spiritual eyesight restored, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will have eyes to see and ears to hear as we examine this text this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we can gather here today. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you notice that this text is very unique, often overlooked. In fact, it is the only gospel that has this miracle is in the Gospel of Mark. Yeah, there are some miracles such as the feeding of the 5,000. That miracle is found in every single gospel. But this miracle, the second touch of this man, is only found in the Gospel of Mark. And so we have to step back and ask ourselves this question. What is Mark trying to teach us in this miracle? What is so significant about Mark's gospel that he takes the time to teach us about this really almost obscure miracle? Well, in order to understand this text, we really have to examine last week's parable that we looked at last week's story, which is the passage where Jesus was with the disciples. He had just fed 4,000. Then he went and he saw a group of men who were questioning him about who he was. And then you had the disciples alone in a boat arguing over one loaf of bread. You remember, they had just seen Jesus feed 5,000 with a few loaves. And now here they were when it was their turn for need. All of a sudden they started wondering, "Well, Jesus, how can you meet my need?" And Jesus said this to them. He said, "Do you have eyes, but you do not see?" He was letting the disciples know, you think you can see, but you are truly spiritually blind. And then now he heals this man in a very unique way to teach us that spiritual sight doesn't come on at salvation. So I want to teach you two things this morning. The first is this. Salvation does not bring instant perfection. Salvation does not bring instant perfection. I want you to notice how this text begins. It begins focusing on the blind man's family. And I love that his family comes to Jesus and they recognize this, that Jesus was the only one who could help them. And if you have not realized that today, you are in trouble. Notice they recognize Jesus was the only one who could help their situation, and they cared so much about this man that they brought him to Jesus. Notice it says that they begged Jesus. They implored him that he would lay his hands on him and heal this blind man. So you realize the family had several expectations. The family expected that Jesus would touch this man and he would be instantly healed. That he would be taken out of darkness and into light. But what we find in their text is that their expectation was a false one. Sometimes whenever people are saved, their family has false expectations. Sometimes a person brings their family and prays for that individual and hopes that that person is saved. And they believe if they can just get saved, then all of their troubles will be over. If they can just get saved, their addiction will end. If they can just get saved, all of their habits will be removed. But what happens is a person is saved. And let's say a person struggles with alcohol. They get saved and they realize there's still that temptation to drink. A person who struggles with drugs, suddenly they get saved and they're almost surprised that there's still that temptation to do drugs. A person who has any type of sin, as soon as they get saved, they're almost surprised that there's still this temptation. You see what happens, the Bible tells us several promises from Scripture. One promise is this, that the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside. And the Holy Spirit brings with him a brand new heart. And so you have the Holy Spirit, you have this brand new heart, but then you have a big problem. The heart is inside this old fleshly body. And the old fleshly body has a lot of baggage. And what you find, the process of salvation, once you get saved, you then begin to unpack the spiritual baggage. I want you to notice that first, salvation doesn't bring instant perfection. It does not bring instant perfection. In World War II, there were times whenever businesses would have much debris scattered from war. All the bombs that would go off would end many businesses. But the few businesses that remained, after they cleared out all of the debris, they would put out a sign out front that would say, "Business as usual." What happens whenever we get saved? We can put a sign out front that says, "Under new management." Because the moment we get saved, we begin a process of Jesus working in our life. Notice that Jesus was telling the disciples, he was showing the disciples, what I'm doing for this man, I can do for you. You are spiritually blind, although you don't realize it, and I can help lead you out of darkness and into light. Notice what Jesus did for this man in verse 23. It says, taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" I love whenever we see these encounters, we really see the compassion and the love of Jesus. Here he takes this man and he leads him out of the village. And that's exactly what he does to us. We are caught in our sin. We get saved, but we still have all this baggage. And he takes us by the hand and he leads us out of that old lifestyle and into a brand new one. Notice the intimacy that is there in this text as he takes him by the hand. Now, there's something intimate about taking someone by the hand. Whenever I'm walking across the parking lot, I'll take my children's hand. Or I'll take my wife's hand. but I don't take anyone else's hand. Amen? You just take the people's hand of those you are intimate with. And notice here, Jesus is intimate with this man. He is close to this man. And then notice he does something shocking. He spits in this man's eyes. Now, today in America, we read that and we think, man, that's really gross. But you got to understand the context. That was something that would have been common during that time period, as his eyes were dry, and so Jesus was lubricating his eyes. He spits in that man's eyes, then he takes his hands, and most likely he is massaging the man's eyes and rubbing the spit into his eyes. He's essentially acting like a great physician, exactly what a doctor would do. You go to the doctor, and you are having trouble with your eyesight, and they have that big poster at the very back that has all the letters on it. And you start at the top and you read the first letter and it's really clear and you feel like you're doing really good about yourself. And then as you slowly move down the chart and the letters get smaller and smaller, you realize you don't have as good of eyesight as you thought you had. That's exactly what happens with the disciples and all of us spiritually. We start realizing we really just don't have it together as much as we thought we did. We thought we had our eyes spiritually open, but we realized we still have a lot of work to do. Well, here Jesus is acting like the great physician, and he slowly heals the man. And then notice what Jesus says. Do you see anything? Do you see anything? For the readers in the Gospel of Mark, that is to remind us of what Jesus had told the disciples earlier in the passage we looked at last week. He told the disciples, you have eyes, but do you not see? In other words, I'm doing this miracle not just to heal this man's blindness, but I'm really doing it to show a spiritual maturity, a spiritual eyesight that each disciple needs to gain. That is what it says in verse 24. And he looked up and he said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. Interesting that Jesus didn't heal this man instantly. It's the only miracle you'll find like this in Scripture, where Jesus touched a man and he wasn't healed instantly. Instead, it was a process. In the same way that salvation is a process, we are not perfected just by salvation. Notice as he looks, it says that I see men, but they look like trees. That lets us know that this man wasn't born blind. If he was born blind, he wouldn't even know what trees look like. So we know that he would have had to have lost his eyesight, probably by some type of disease. So here's this man he's never seen before. He's waiting for Jesus to touch him. And Jesus touches him, and all of his troubles don't go away. How many times do we get saved and we still struggle? And we think, Lord, I didn't expect it to be like this. I'm saved now. I expected all of my troubles to go away. But notice Jesus isn't finished with this man. He's still working on this man. And in the same way that Jesus is still working on this man, Jesus will continue to work on us. Salvation does not bring instant perfection. I want you to know in a second, sanctification requires many touches of Jesus. Sanctification requires many touches of Jesus. Look at verse 25. Because then again he laid hands on his eyes. And he looked intensely and was restored and began to see everything clearly. Now this is the only time that Jesus had to touch a man twice. Not because it was such a hard miracle, but because he had something he wanted to teach us today. He wanted to teach us about sanctification. That big word sanctification, it just means to be made holy. That Jesus begins a work in us the moment of salvation to begin to make us holy, to set us apart. But that sanctification, that process of making us holy, it's not instantaneous. It requires many touches of Jesus. Kind of reminds me of an iceberg. You've heard, I'm sure, that an iceberg only has about 10% above the water, and the other 90% is below it. Well, as that iceberg is floating and as the sun beats down on that iceberg, it'll begin to melt off the top and it'll cause it to rise up a little bit more. Well, that's how it is when we get saved. The closer we get to Jesus, the dirtier we realize that we are. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize we don't have it together. We confess our sins, and it's as though that melts away, and then there's this whole other 90% of things we need to work on. Sanctification requires many touches of Jesus. Jesus had to keep investing in this man. He had to keep touching the man. Once you notice that the good news is something that sanctification is something that can't be stopped. I love this. I want you to write this down. Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. It should be your life verse if you don't have one. This is what it says. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a great promise. That he who began a good work in you, he started that work in salvation. He began it the moment of your salvation, and he's going to keep working on you to perfect it until the day that you meet Christ Jesus. Once you notice, the text states that Jesus laid hands on the man's eyes a second time, that he had to strain his eyes, and then he was able to see. We see that Jesus did his part, but we have to be willing to do our part. Every time you read your Bible, it's as though Jesus is giving you a second touch. Every time you pray and ask God for blessings, it's as though Jesus gives you a second touch. Every time you come and you listen to preaching, it is as though Jesus gives you a second touch. Think about Peter. Here was Peter. You've heard the story many times of how on the night of Jesus' betrayal, the night whenever Jesus needed Peter the most, what did he do after 3 years of being invested in Jesus? He denied him. I don't know that man. I don't know that man. I don't know that man. Then after Jesus died, Peter gathered his disciples together and said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to that old life that I used to live. Many of us do the same thing. Once we get saved, sometimes things are hard, and we find ourselves back in the midst of sin, doing things we hate, doing things we never thought we would do again. And then Jesus appeared to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. What was Jesus doing in that text? He was giving Peter another touch. We all need touches of Jesus. The process of sanctification, it is ongoing. We can't expect a person to be perfect just because they're saved. It is ongoing. We constantly need touches of Jesus. John MacArthur is a pastor who has been at a church for nearly 50 years. A long time to be at one church. And he was at that church, and he told a story about whenever he was in seminary. And this is what he said. He said, whenever I was in seminary, I was invited to preach a message. I was invited to be the person who speaks in chapel, even though he was just in seminary himself. It was a great honor. He got up to preach, and he just delivered a dud. You ever heard a preacher deliver a dud? I don't want to hear any amens. I know. He preached and he just missed it. He just blew it. He just missed it. As he was feeling bad enough, and he got into his office, and the president of the seminary came and just tore into him. He said, you missed the purpose of that text. You missed it. Just chewed him out, made him feel about this big. About a week later, he got a brand new set of commentaries from the seminary president. He said, I am buying you these books so that you'll never have an excuse to preach a lousy sermon again. He said, to this day, whenever I'm getting ready to preach, I hear his voice in my ear saying, don't miss it. Don't miss it. But this is what he said. He said, I learned a very valuable lesson from that failure. I learned that behind every failure is the back door to success. Behind every failure, there's a back door to success. And in the moment of your failure, if you know you're saved, pray and ask God, God, this hurts. Help me to never fail like this again. Help me to find that back door to success. Because the process of redemption is ongoing. And he promises in this text that he will not give up on us. Each of us are much like a diamond. The Greek word for diamond, it actually means unbreakable. Unbreakable. But as you know, whenever a person goes out and they find a diamond, it's not beautiful. It's not shiny. It has to be refined. It has to be cleaned up. It has to be restored. People call it a diamond in the rough. Have you ever woken up and looked at yourself in the mirror and you just thought, boy, I sure do look rough. I want you to turn next to the person next to you and say, you look rough. What I love about Scripture is that even though we're rough, God's not finished on us. That God is undergoing a great process of sanctification. He is making each of us holy. But salvation, it doesn't bring instant perfection. Salvation is an ongoing process. But he who began a good work in you will not give up on you. He will complete it until the day that Jesus comes. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for all that you do for us. I thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. Lord, I pray that you'll help each person that's here today. Lord, help us to examine our lives spiritually. Lord, help us to confess the sins that are in our life, the sins that are keeping us from looking like your Son. I pray, Lord, that you'll help all of our spiritual lives to be opened. Lord, I pray that you'll reach down and touch each person that is here today so that we can have eyes that see and ears that hear. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you this morning to pray to God and ask him to give you eyes that see so that you can see him clearly. I invite you to come.
Stand with me.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. steadfastly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home.
All right, you may be seated. I have just a couple of announcements. One, I want to invite everybody to come back tonight. After the service, we are going to be having a dinner. Now, we don't want you to bring a thing. This is a special dinner that our deacons want to better serve the church. And one way we want to serve people is we know good Baptists like to eat. And so, therefore, the best way we can serve you is to give you a meal. And so we invite you to come back tonight, and after our 6 o'clock service, the deacons are going to serve you. You don't need to bring a thing but yourself, and I hope you come to that. I also want to let you know that we're going to be having an Easter egg hunt on Saturday at 10 o'clock. And so we do want you to come. If you haven't dropped off any eggs, please come. Give us your eggs so that we can go out and hide those eggs and have a great time. I also want to let you know we're going to be starting a Beth Moore Bible study. And if you're interested in finding out more about it, Miss Brubaker will be leading that on Monday nights. And right now we are taking up our Easter offering. And so we have a video that we're going to watch that tells us a little bit more about the Easter offering.
So speaking in front of people is always makes me very nervous. And I was sitting in my parents' barber shop. There was a little museum in honor of my great-grandfather. He felt the calling on his life to plant a church in Detroit in the 40s. The reason why his church grew is because he had a way with people. And I'm looking at the pictures of my papa's church, and he just hit me with this small, still voice. If I can use your papa, then I can use you. So many more home churches for people in Detroit. And for those of you that have been giving, or maybe will give for the first time to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, I mean, you literally are making an impact all the way up in Detroit and the Motor City to help people that many. His story is, grew up in Detroit, both of his parents died at a young age, and he finds Jesus, and he hasn't felt like he's had a home. And now he feels like he has a home, church, he has a family. And I just want to say thank you for your generosity, because now a church like this exists. And so we have people that are starting to see, that are starting to wake up to the signs of how much Jesus loves them and wants a real relationship with them. The need is so great for church planting. And when we think of missions, I know a lot of times we can think on the other side of the world, which is still so important, but there is such a need right here in Detroit, and right now.
All right. Quick announcement, if you are youth age, that is 7th through 12th grade, please come see me about our summer camp. We got a big, big summer camp coming up July 2nd through the 7th. That'll be at the University of Mobile, and that's going to be a lot of fun for everyone that goes. See me for details on that. Also, choir practice tonight, 5 o'clock. Let's stand and sing our parting chorus. Let's join hands.
Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, poor sinners bleeding, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Thank you.